This is Jeff Conway. Welcome to our sermon series.
I'm going to sing until the Holy Spirit moves my soul. Stand up and let's sing that again. Oh, wow. Hasn't the music just been unbelievable in this season as they've been... These spirituals are just absolutely phenomenal and powerful. So music means a lot to all of us. It takes us back to moments in our lives. Sometimes on staff, I get harassed for my 70s sensibilities. There's a song that I love that gets Snickers. Pass it on. It only takes a spark. I'm not going to sing this. To get a fire going. Do you know this song? And soon all those around will warm up to its glow, right? That's how it is with God's love once you've experienced, right? Wow, it's 70s. It's totally, totally 70s. But it takes me back. It takes me back to the experience of being that unchurched kid that was invited by friends to come join in this Presbyterian youth group and Young Life. And we would sit around and often, you know, I can picture it in my head that the fire going in the fireplace and the guitar being played and everybody sitting on the floor and everyone singing that song. It only takes a spark with the end of that. I want to pass it on, that passion to passing it on. We have been journeying in this season of Pentecost and looking at images of fire that first week where that burning bush reached out and spoke to Moses and called his name and called him into ministry. And each one of us was encouraged to remember the truth that's revealed to each one of us, Scripture. And so you were invited to read through the Gospel of John in these past couple weeks. Last week we had that crazy image of Ezekiel's view of the glory of God with wheels and fire and chariots and thrones and all those magnificent images and being reminded that if we don't set apart space so that we can listen to God, unplug from all the noise that's around us. If we don't do that, it becomes more difficult to hear God's word to us. So you are encouraged this week to take a couple of moments of solitude and listen and experience the sweet presence of God. This week it's all about Pentecost. It's red, it's fire. It's the celebration of the gift of the Spirit implanted in each one of our lives. Out of God, into us, out of us. Hear God speaking to us this day, Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound of the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabs, in all their own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deed of power. All were amazed. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." And this is God's word to us this morning. Now remember this image here as the disciples are gathered in that upper room in Jerusalem. Know that they're not in the place of grief that they were after the crucifixion. They've seen Jesus. Just as Becca illustrated to all our children up here, it spent days. Jesus had spent days with the disciples and many others that experienced the glory of his resurrected presence. But they were told to go and wait, not exactly sure for what. This comforter will be coming to help you, but go wait and gather here in this room. And so here in this room, wind and fire again. Wind and fire as we've looked at throughout this season of Pentecost. The wind fills the room, the ruach of God. Just like that ruach, that spirit of God was there in presence, breathing creation to the order as God's spirit hovered over that which was formless and void. And last week, what was it about those crazy wheels and that chariot and that throne and all the fire and the flashing beautiful symbols of God? What directed all that? Breath, once again. Wind, once again. The Spirit of God, the Ruah of God, defining and directing all of that. That's what we're here today. Just as I spoke about that experience of sitting around in that circle as a high school, learning about God's love for me. This is a passage about experience. They experienced something very different and wanted to share that with us. I invited each one of you to read the Gospel of John over the past couple of weeks, particularly paying attention to how Jesus reacted and spoke to strangers, to the disciples, and to the religious leaders. When you read John chapter 3, what's the thing you remember about John chapter 3? For God so loved the world, right? We all know that passage. In fact, we see that passage all over the place. Even if you watch sporting events, right, on guys' foreheads, John 3:16, across their shirts, you see that everywhere. But what is that in the midst of? What's the story in the midst of that we hear Jesus speak those words? Jesus is speaking to a religious leader. He's speaking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus sees that Jesus is doing something that really is coming from God, and he wants to know more about him and how he can walk in this kingdom that Jesus is speaking about. And so he asks Jesus, "Tell me about this kingdom. How can I experience this kingdom?" And that's where he hears these words that he must be born again. Born again. Born again? How can I be born again? I can't go back into my mother's womb. How can I be born again? This makes no sense, Nicodemus is thinking in the midst of this. But Jesus goes further and he says, "No one comes into the kingdom of God unless you have been born of the water and the Spirit." And just like maybe last week, that image that Ezekiel shared with us of the glory of God may have been confusing for the people of that time, it was not. They saw the image of God's character all over the place. In the same way, Nicodemus would have understood something very specific about what Jesus was saying to him. After not understanding this born again, he's talking about water and breath. And wind. And he would have gone back, but because he knew Scripture well, he would have gone back to the very beginning. What is it that God did to Adam? He breathed life into Adam. God breathed through God's breath, through God's Spirit. God breathed life into Adam. He would have known that and understood that. And in understanding that, he hears that word again. Born again. Again. What is again? Just like we have physical breath that keeps us alive, right? Do you think about breathing at every moment? Are you thinking about breathing right now? You might be now. I brought it up. Unless you struggle with some breathing, you don't think about breathing too much, do you? It's not hard for any of us to know what gives us life every day. We have to keep breathing, right? That brings us life as we breathe. What is this breathing again? What is this born again? This image that the Spirit needs to breathe spiritual life into us. That's the again. We have the gift of life, our physical life. This baptism of God's Spirit into our lives is the breathing of God into us as we recognize His beauty and His grace. Breathing that in. Breathing that in. Nicodemus would have begun to understand what Jesus was talking about. Out of God, into us, out of us. Out of God, into us, out of us. Wind and fire. Fire that brings warmth and light, warms our souls and enlightens our souls. The people who have been walking in darkness have seen a great light. Words that we know well, this illumination of God's truth. That's what the celebration of this fire, this light is also. The illumination of God's truth and God's word. You can go to the Art Institute of Chicago. And there on the second floor, there's a painting entitled The Denial of Saint Peter. When you stand before it, it's just absolutely amazing, this small fire and how it lights all the faces of the people in the painting. The painting is about, to my experience, as I was standing there, about 50 feet long and 40 feet high. It's this enormous painting that just speaks to you about this moment. It's a painting by Henrik Terbruggen. And so I Googled it because I wanted to remember. And as I Googled it and I looked up the size, it's 4x6. That's not what it was in my memory, but it's just 4x6. But in that 4x6, how powerful this denial of Peter. As there's the fire there on the ground and darkness all around them and the light dancing off the faces of the accusers, and the light dancing off the face of conviction of Peter. He was illumined at that moment in the ways that he was betraying Jesus. And so we have celebration in the illumination here in this Chapter 2 of Acts. For after this indwelling, a beautiful image of wind and fire and the indwelling of the Spirit of God in Peter's life, what does he immediately do? He's changed. He doesn't have to worry anymore. Just as the kids heard this morning, he doesn't have to worry anymore. He goes out in boldness and he shares about the love that God has through for all humanity through his Son, Jesus Christ. See him, know him, experience him, that power of the Spirit within Peter's life, illumined by the Spirit of God, gave him that power to speak. Beautiful. Out of God, into us, out of us. As we think about all the wonderful ways that we are called to share and speak truth, it's easy for my heart, being from Gordon-Conwell that Billy Graham was a part of bringing together, it's easy for my heart to go and celebrate his ministry. When I was working on my paper at Wheaton and working with Robert Weber, there were moments where you just got so tired of all the information coming into your head, and you just kind of needed to go away. And there's a museum there dedicated to the ministry and celebrating the ministry of Billy Graham. And you walk around and you see all these pictures of him preaching in various places throughout the whole world. And there's one point that you can walk. And so this was me just kind of getting away and wanting to empty my head. But when I went in there, I had this powerful experience. For once you walk around and see some of those pictures, you turn the corner and there's a hallway in the shape of a cross. And so after seeing and celebrating the power of God's Spirit working within the lives of the people that led those crusades, you then walk through this hallway that's a complete cross around you, the arms going out from you, walking down the end, and the top of the cross above your head. It was a beautiful moment of presence for me, being there in that museum. C.S. Lewis challenges us with a thought about museums. He writes, "If we do not believe that the message revealed is truth, then we should relegate the Christian faith to museums. But if we do, we should not live with the pretense that it does not make a difference." Do you get what he's saying here? Interesting. If you don't believe my story, this is interesting that we can just gather here and be nice to each other and like this. Really what we should do, because there are plenty of other things to do, let's just put this in a museum. All this truth. And people can go visit it there if you don't believe. But if you do believe, live and walk and remember the power of God's Spirit and the difference that that makes in people's lives, in our lives, in humanity's life. Right? Live like it makes a difference. Pay attention that it makes a difference in your family, in your workplace, at your school. How many people are there that have no idea what it means to be loved by God? How many people need friends to reach out and invite them to sit on the floor and strum along with the guitar and sing sweet songs and learn about this love? How many people out there do we know that need to know this? The truth that's revealed this day is that Spirit of God is living within each one of us, breathed in, fire within us, empowered that we might be able to go out and speak and share. We talked about knowing and experiencing the truth in Scripture. We talked about experiencing the sweet communion with God in solitude. And now this message of fire is experience it, use it, and live with it. And share it. Because the world needs to know. Out of God, into us, out of us, we need to speak those words. Need to speak those words. Vance Havner, evangelist in the 20th century, shares these words that we can't change. We are not going to change the world by critiquing it, nor by conforming to it. But we need to be ignited by the fire of the Spirit of God so that the world may see. So that the world may see. Know that fire's there and celebrate that fire that's there. We're going to be doing an incredible thing next week. I celebrate it with all my heart. Amazing what we have heard. Dora sharing with us the ways that these 20,000 meals that we'll be making are touching not only the lives of people living in poverty, but those who are running from war. Refugees are receiving these meals also. How awesome is that? And how awesome that we're going to begin to fill a container that will be shipped to Belize to bring them goods that they just can't get a hold of. And they need medical supplies, school supplies. Incredible opportunity that we get to do. I celebrate this doing. But we need to challenge ourselves to be speakers of why we are doing that. So you had the invitation to read the Gospel of John. You had the invitation to take some moments last week in solitude. This week, your invitation is to be prayerful and think of that person or that situation where you might bring faith, an image of God, the truth of Christ, to the conversation. I go to Starbucks at about 6:30 Sunday mornings. I'm not a coffee drinker. Why do I do that? Hot chocolate. No vanilla, 2 squirts cinnamon. Try it. It's really good. There's been a person there for over a year who knows my voice now just when I say hello. Ask if I want the usual, sometimes a little different, and I get a chai. But we've built this relationship through this machine that I talk to her in. And then when I go up to the window and get to share a little bit. She sees me oftentimes wearing a tie on Sunday mornings. We strike up conversation about her life a little bit. She asked me what I do, and that's come out that I'm a pastor. I've shared with her a number of times and invited her a number of times. So it was amazing to me that this morning at 6:30, when I got the usual, hot chocolate, 2 squirts cinnamon, when I got my usual and I pulled up to the window, and I asked her, how is Nevada? Because she'd just been out with her boyfriend visiting family in Nevada. I said, how is Nevada? Did you have a good trip? And she kind of, yeah, it was a great trip, and told me a little bit about it. And she said, now remind me where your church is, because I'm not religious, but I think I might stop by and say hi sometime. And I said, you know what? You don't have to be religious. Just come knowing that you're going to be loved by God. And we said goodbye to each other. Very simple conversation built over time. Your challenge this week is to be people of fire. People who not just do the truth, but speak the truth so that others may know. So as we come forward this day for the laying on of hands, as you are in the congregation and people are coming forward, I invite you to be praying for all of us here in this church, that we would be empowered by God's Spirit to be speakers of God's truth.